When I say life after set-top box data, I don't really mean that set-top box data can go away. I mean that it's just not enough. We have to add other kinds of data onto set-top box data. Most of you in the room probably don't know, back in 1997, I had a company called Next Century Media. Next Century Media was working with, integrating with the largest cable operator at the time, TCI, owned by Liberty Media, John Malone. John Hendricks of Discovery had invented a thing which was essentially Hulu ahead of its time, called Your Choice TV, which couldn't get enough programming, so it went out of business. But we were introducing in our system, Next Century Media had the first set-top box data, the first addressable TV commercials. All of this was operational. The first programmatic buying-selling interface, the first data-driven program recommender. So I'm kind of familiar with set-top box data. Back then, we were only getting one type of set-top box data. My next company, TRA, which we sold to TiVo in 2012, now called TiVo Research, TRA got all kinds of different set-top box data. Some of it wasn't set-top box data. It was switched digital video data. And some set-top box data came to us with tuning duration requirements. In other words, if you didn't dwell on a channel for at least 5 seconds, we wouldn't get any data for it. Other people, like TiVo itself, gave us data that was second by second, microsecond by microsecond. We managed to put all this data together and make it interoperable. But you know, viewing in the last 5 years has changed more than in the prior 50. It's all been a matter of mobile devices and digital forms of delivery of television. Enormous changes. And the Band-Aids, Chris was mentioning, on old measurement methods aren't cutting it. Consumer panels and set-top box data are not measuring the cord nevers, the cord cutters. Viewers who are really addicted to mobile devices or other ways of watching television and other time periods in which they watch that are very unlike the previous history of the primetime domination. Now today, in order to create total audience measurement, the industry standard currency, Nielsen, has a plan to do that by taking the OTT server data from the networks for free and then selling it back to them for something rumored to be in the area of incremental $10 million additional dollars per year per network for getting their own data back. So only three networks are rumored to have actually cooperated with that approach, and we may not get to total audience measurement in the expected way. There may be other ways of getting there. So they're looking at it from the eyes of a network. Somehow we now have data that Nielsen needs to sell back to us. And at the same time, Nielsen has announced that it, even after it gets all the OTT data from all the networks, if that ever happens, won't be able to turn on the view of that data to anyone except the original network that gave the OTT data until everyone in the room stands up and says, yes, we want it. Turn on the lights. Everybody has to say that at the same time. In this context, do we really have a choice about data interoperability, or could data interoperability suddenly, after this upfront, if Nielsen doesn't have total audience measurement and a third of the TV audience isn't being counted, are we going to start to interoperate in order to keep television aloft? Or let's look a few, let's say we get past this election. Let's say we get past this upfront. Let's say everything is fine. Sure hope so. But then we know that everything is moving towards IPTV. It's kind of happened in Europe and other parts of the world already. Eventually, all TV will be coming through the internet. Now, at that point in time, all of the networks will have first-party data on their own networks in servers. Every bit of it, you know, every part of the television audience will be like digital is now, all of it available in servers. So at that point in time, if Nielsen is going to succeed in this idea of we won't pay for the data, but we'll get it for free, and then we'll sell it back to you. Or if there's a rebellion and Nielsen says, okay, we will pay you for the data. We'll give you a discount on your service if you give us the data. When we get to IPTV, Nielsen will simply be taking all of this server data and compiling it? Or will they also have a panel as a means perhaps of checking on the veracity of the hard data? Because, you know, bots and fraud, and we know these kinds of things do happen in digital. They could happen in TV, so we can't totally rely on first-party data, can we? We still need to have the old-fashioned measurement as a checkpoint, or do we? Moving on to a related but different point. So in the internet, we've learned about the danger of non-human traffic, overstated audience size. But we now have to learn about another danger, non-human data. And the reason I say that is because there are a host of brilliant companies, most of them startups, who are now scraping all kinds of information off the internet, the public, social media, what people say on social media, trillions of data points being collected every day, and some of it's being used to provide metadata for television content and video content, and it's being used to, in some cases, make program recommendations, personalized recommendations, based on scraped metadata. So I recently sat through a very beguiling presentation by one of the world's largest technology companies showing an example of how their system created meta tags for TV content, video content, robotically, untouched by human eyes, hands, minds. And what I saw was, it was a short about Adele, the singer, and her cosmetologist, who was making her up backstage in some green room, was talking and saying that Adele loves hot dogs. And then you on the screen, you saw the meta tag appear, love. So the meta tag love was now attached to the fact that Adele loves hot dogs. Well, I would call that a false positive. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say that that content should be tagged with the word love. We'll come back to that point later. But take a close look at data that are being scraped before you use it for anything. Just know what you're using. Now, a related issue is what's happened to television? It used to be so much more addictive. There was a time of day called prime time when everybody dropped everything else, and if they possibly could, they got to a TV set, and they sat there for hours. That's not kind of happening anymore for a lot of people. Why is that? Are people working three jobs to support themselves? Is it simply having the availability of it at other times have caused them to flex time television? They're more into themselves? Or has something happened where television is moving away from being the satisfying, involving, riveting, immersive, emotional experience that it was designed to be? I mean, it's all about identifying, at least the fiction part is about identifying with a character and forgetting who you are for a while and becoming the character so much you care about what happens to the character. Is that happening? Now, those of us who have brands, a TV brand, a network brand, a TV program brand, need to get back to the idea of brand love. How do you achieve brand love? How do you maximize the quality of the user experience with your television or video brand? How do you do that? You know, one thing that I've got a consulting practice as well as a new startup called RMT, Research Measurement Technologies. One of my consulting clients is Simmons, which has been around for 60 years, hasn't changed anything in 60 years, and they're letting me change things. And Simmons is becoming much more cross-platform by merging with Symphony Advanced Media, which is measuring the whole TV audience through their mobile devices by listening to the sound, having it digitized, compared against Gracenote 6-second bites, identifying just 6 seconds of the audio. You know it's episode 3 of season 2 of Game of Thrones or whatever it is. But the other thing that I've gotten Simmons to do is to get a lot more psychographic about understanding what are the psychological triggers in a TV show. Why do you watch it? So right now, Simmons is measuring 577 different psychographics. And if you rank them by how well they characterize the TV show Gotham, the highest ranked psychographic for Gotham is "I feel so alone in the world." Now, if you look at another TV show, 48 Hours, pick any show on television, you tend to get a different highest ranked psychographic for that show. And it's amazing how individualized television shows are and how much deeper they are psychologically than we realize. And that's another kind of data that we're going to need to make interoperable with all the other kinds of data. So you're right. Right now, all of the big players, the big networks and network groups are testing things. You know, 5 years ago, we didn't have a lot of paid tune-in advertising. Tune-in always meant you put a trailer or an ad for a new show on your own air. And even still, there weren't that many networks in those days. Within a short time, 75% of the country knew your new show existed. Nowadays, that 75%, I wager, is around 35 to 45% average awareness of a new show when it goes on the air. It's just very difficult to get reach and awareness. So now TV networks are selling each other to their competitors. They're selling airtime for their tune-in advertising. Everybody's doing it. It's the only way to get reach. So there is already a kind of an interoperability idea in the exchange of money for tune-in advertising. And just running it on TV is not the answer. We've got to be testing, and many companies are, social media, mobile, ITV, using interactivity, using public relations, creating events to publicize new shows. All of these things are well worth testing. Even personalized recommendation is a form of tune-in advertising. It's a way of discovering a new program. And we ought to be careful about the personalized recommenders. We ought to make them very psychological, not just, oh, I've got a check-the-box system that's based on metadata that was ground out of social media scrapes or whatever it is. So Ericsson measured 24 countries representing a billion people using a sample of 30,000 respondents, and they found that the path to viewing, making the decision of what you watch on TV, which takes these respondents claim an average of 23 minutes every day trying to figure out what to watch on TV, 44% of them consider it a pain. It is not like knowing what you're going to watch. You kind of give up along the way and you settle for something because you're just too bored with the idea of hunting. So there are a lot of companies who are making real efforts to personalize recommendations, which is a good thing to do. Here are some of those companies. Now, some of these companies are not even using any audience measurement data to make the personalized recommendation. I mentioned that Next Century Media back in 1997 had a personalized recommender. It was the first data-driven recommender. It worked off of our set-top box data. We had started with, we wanted to have all the psychological words out of the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary. We paid people to go through all million words in the English language. They pulled out 13,000 words that described psychological traits or states. We then did 10 national probability samples and had 1,000 adults rate themselves on 1,000 of these words. How well does this word describe me on a 6-point semantic differential scale? And then across 10 samples, we covered the 10,000 words that we had reduced the 13,000 to by careful synonymization. So captured all those words, came down to 1,562 meta tags, accounted for 90% of the variance in that whole data mass. So we took those 1,562 meta tags and we put them on the top 1,000 shows on television. So if you were living in Columbine or Aurora and you had a TCI, DCT 1000 set-top box and a two-way path, you could, at 5 to 9 at night, let's say you didn't know what to watch at 9 o'clock, you could press the A button on your remote. Within a second, our system would pick the best match of a show you'd never watched before, based on we had your set-top box data. Show you'd never watched before, which one had the best matching of those 1,562 meta tags that we found across your set-top box tuning record. You know, which of those meta tags did you tend to view through these various TV vehicles? So we had over 90% satisfaction in those trials. Almost 20% of the people became loyal viewers three or four out of four episodes of those shows we recommended. And we found that 261 of those words were the only ones that had all the power to drive these conversions and the satisfaction level. We didn't need the 1,562. We only needed 261 of them. We called them driver tags. And now we're back in the market building a recommender in RMT. Now we're using all of the viewing data that we get from the MVPD or ACR in a mobile phone, either of those methods, in order to get all of the person's viewing so that we have the best basis for knowing what they like. Now, if you're Netflix and you're only seeing Netflix viewing, the average Netflix user might do 50% of the viewing on Netflix, 10%, 90%, probably all over the lot. So Netflix doesn't get the same basis for data recommendation, program recommendation as Verizon or Comcast Xfinity. New York Times isn't getting any audience data. All of these people are using robotic meta tags. They're not using psychological. We believe that psychological will add some. Now, the other thing about recommenders, before you jump in and do a recommender, it does depend on how big your catalog is. If you don't have enough programs, the power of the recommender is not going to be as great. So if CBS and Showtime start to bundle their two OTT apps, it would be actually better for them to bundle the two into one app. Then they get the benefit of being able to see each other's data and be able to make recommendations based on that. So moving from those ideas down to the last few slides here, what is the ideal configuration for a TV network or an MVPD in terms of a data management platform? And this is related to, if you're in the advertising sales business, some people are just doing pay networks, they don't have a question about advertising, but a lot of us are in advertising supported television. It's important, therefore, that we have the best addressability, interactivity, the most immersive advertising experiences with the highest ROI. So how do we do that? Well, you have to integrate all the data you have. You have to also validate it and see, does it have a relationship? You know, we know, for example, that driver tags get an adjusted R-square of 0.76 against Nielsen data, which in English means that we are able to predict 76% of Nielsen based on these driver tags. Before you use metadata, validate it in that same way. Validate all of the data you have. Find out what the data you're missing is and make a deal to get it. Do this all programmatically. Make it easy to use for your decision makers. And then don't just depend upon the agency to optimize the schedule. Bring them an optimized package. Start the optimization at the seller side. Now, doing all of these things will tend to increase success for the network and for the advertiser and hopefully for the viewer. So then, what data would you be wanting to make interoperable at first? Well, the first thing you're going to need to make this API network of networks work is the standardized content codes, the EDIDs and the EIDRs. It can't be a partial thing. Everybody's got to have it 100% done. Got to get done. It's got to get done quickly. We don't know what the dangers are coming up. Certainly, Nielsen and ComScore, you're going to need data interoperability with them. You may not have heard of Standard Media Index, but they are making the agencies interoperable by putting an advanced accounting system into all of, in this country, most of the agencies, covering 70% of all media spend in a standardized way. So they've got hard ad spend and cost data. You're going to need that. If Nielsen doesn't repair the missing audience, Symphony Advanced Media is also publishing what they call their lift adjustment, which is a percentage you can apply to the Nielsen data for a given program and target group, which simply lifts it to the level of total audience. So Nielsen. You can use most of the data from Nielsen, but get it completed by means of Symphony Advanced Media. We think that you'll find value in adding human psychology into this mix, both by psychographics and our own driver tags. Our ROI, you'll want to be interlinked with TiVo Research, Nielsen Catalina, leading suppliers of market mix modeling, multi-touch attribution, so that you can optimize on ROI, not just optimize on reach. You might be interested in also interconnecting with Ben, which is backed by Bill Gates' investment money. Ben is the Branded Entertainment Network, who are arranging to do programmatic brand integration, already doing it for some networks, and some pay networks are now double revenue stream. It's not advertising, but it's brands in programs. There's another company that you might want to be connected with, which is measuring the engagement of television. It's called T-Vision. T-Vision is setting up samples right now, and it's in the top 8 markets. They've got a device that watches and digitizes the people in the room watching the television and can measure things like blood flow in the face, emotional signals from the face, whether the eyes are on the screen or not, second by second. Came out of MIT Media Labs. This is a sample of data that you'd like to be interoperable, I think. If you are in the ad business, selling to agencies, you might want to consider an optimizer that includes all of these things to put together packages for your agencies in the upfront and in scatter markets. Imagine being able to match the driver tags of an ad to a program, to the psychology of the viewers, to whether they buy the product category that you're advertising, matching, merging, integrating, interoperating that with Nielsen data, SMI data, so that you know the costs of your competitors, and then being able to measure the immersion from through T-Vision and the duplication patterns based on Nielsen ComScore. All of that really should figure into optimization. Most of those things aren't yet being used in optimization. So the last slide here. This is a picture of one integrated network system. It includes the data you need for selling optimized ad schedules, but it also includes data you need for program recommendation, filters on viewability and non-human traffic, being able to use your client's own data, you know, target stores as tens of millions of first-party relationship consumers. And then you have these censuses that you want to stay linked to. The censuses include companies like Axiom, Experian, Crux, Moat, many of them, who are basically trying to keep up to date on every device in America within person. So you have all the devices within a person, and then you have all the people within a household. So a map of devices within people within homes. You're going to need that. You're going to need that in order to do the matching of all these diverse data sets. So I think I'm done now, and I don't know if I have time for questions.
Unfortunately, no, but you're sticking around for the break, right? So please approach Bill on the break with your questions. Thank you so much, Bill Harvey. Great education. All right, now to speak to trends and highlights in Interop and Beyond, we've got our last session before our networking break. Please.